Hey, this is J.R. McNair, Velocity Radio. We are here in the studio with three great people. I'm really excited today because I personally invited these guests here. I knew that they, each with their varied backgrounds, and all of them have some amazing stories, and you all will get to hear them in a minute. I'm not going to hold us up any longer. I want to say hello to Victor. Victor, are you there?
I am here. Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming on to the show, man. We look forward to getting you in here and talking about some great things.
No doubt, man. It's a pleasure to be here. Velocity Radio, J.R. McNair, you the man.
All right. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. And secondly, we're going to talk to Brigida. Say hello to the audience here.
Hey, everyone. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you, J.R., for having me on.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And last but not least, Ms. Jessica.
It's okay. I'm used to being the last and like the rosters because my last name is Wise. Okay. You know? How y'all doing? I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Most definitely. Great. Listen, we're going to get right into it, Vic. Vic, you first got to know me from coming to one of our events at the Cobb Galleria Center at a Small Business Day Atlanta. This was back at the towards the end of 2018. And so, and you've been kind of staying up to date with us, kind of logging in when we do our different online webinars and everything. And I thought you were actually in Atlanta still because I saw that you had came on to be a guest, wanted to request to be a guest on the show. And then I looked and I saw something that said Carrollton, Texas. And I was like, I thought it said he must have just got the TX wrong and meant to put GA there. Because, you know, we got Carrollton, Georgia. And then when I called you because you had the 678 number, you was like, nah, I'm in Dallas. And I was like, okay, so we'll make this
JR,
happen.
Don't feel bad. The same mistake happened with the mayor of Carrollton, Georgia. I sent an email thinking it was going to Carrollton, Texas mayor's office. And I literally got a call from the mayor of Carrollton, Georgia, because he saw the area code 678. So you're in good company, brother.
Hey,
you're in good company.
Listen. Hey, but we're so happy to have you on and talk to you about your financial wellness company. First off, before we talk about that company, I want you to talk about just how in the world did you get into this? What sparked your interest to even get into wanting to talk about financial wellness? Like, how did it come about?
So I come from a generation of basically struggling check to check. I had poor credit. You know, my parents really didn't understand that world. My dad did a little bit, but I really didn't understand that growing up. And so one of the things that I did learn, though, is from both of my grandmothers, they were real estate owners during the 60s, black women, single black women in the 60s that owned real estate. Wow. My grandmother from my dad's side owned duplexes in upstate New York in the 60s. And my mother's mother, Harley May, she was in San Francisco buying real estate. So both of them taught me about generational wealth building and the importance of ownership. And I really didn't get it until probably about 6-7 years ago. My income was getting better, but then I found myself with a lot of credit challenges. So I overcame all of those things, and we can kind of get into all of that. But basically, once I got through my credit challenges, my money mindset got better. And that's when I got into real estate investing, and I was able to quickly escalate that into 6 rental properties over the course of 4 years. And so I see the importance of building wealth, and it's super important that we explain that to our children and the generations that come behind.
Yeah. Tell me about your company and what made you start this company and what you do at your company, because you do several things, not only in the credit side, but, you know, education. Tell us about what came to the formation of this entity that you're doing at current.
Absolutely. Thank you for that opportunity. So my company is called Nico Don Project. That's N-I-C-O-D-O-N Project. It's a moniker for my name, basically, my middle name, Vinico. And what we do is we teach money mindset. We have a paycheck to paycheck program where we teach people how to manage their money better, track their dollars, and, of course, build that towards saving, towards investing into, again, ownership in real estate or into business entrepreneurship. We also do credit restoration because, again, these are challenges that I face myself. So I knew that this path was important for people overcoming the credit hurdle so that they could position themselves to leverage the dollars that they need to get into ownership. And then, of course, we teach the real estate investing side my specialty is buy and hold, so rental property investing. And that's really important towards our program. And so we teach that program so that people know how to get into real estate investing without huge dollars. You don't have to have $100,000 in the bank necessarily, but we teach people how to get into those programs and how to manage them and how to manage them from different states. So we have properties in three different states, and I'm able to manage them all from right here in Dallas, Texas.
That is awesome. Listen, you said a mouthful of stuff. Really, first off, when we start speaking about the credit, when I was starting my company many years ago, but I jacked up my credit before I even really realized what I was doing. So, you know, I didn't have anybody there like, oh, do this, do this. It was just like, hey, I'm trying to start a business. What? I don't have no funding. Nobody came to give me any equity funding, or, you know, Shark Tank was not out. So, and so I went and just said, what do I have? I have credit cards. I'm going to make this happen. And I went out there and was figuring things out, and I jacked my credit up before I even knew what was going on. I you know, but I ended up was able to use business credit to help me, which that's a separate thing, but I, you know, one of the things I've seen that's been consistent among most entrepreneurs has been the fact that a lot of them, when they're getting started and they're rolling, that sometimes their credit has hits, and it's almost like a badge of honor when it's like, hey, you know, this is part of it. So
you know, as entrepreneurs, we're intelligent, we're creative, we're you know, thought leaders out there. But a lot of times we've come from a world where we were in that W-2 mentality where, you know, get a check, trade those hours for dollars, and a lot of times you're just not managing the money. So it's not surprising that was the place you were in, because I was there too.
Yeah. So, and then you spoke about that. Secondly, going into real estate, because this is the thing. I see all these shows that come on about flipping houses. I've never been on flipping houses. I don't know what that is, but that's not really real estate, you know, because when you flip houses, you have to, unless you reinvest it, have to pay capital gains taxes. And so,
absolutely.
And so it really doesn't make sense on a long term. You see these things and it sounds good on TV, but when you get down to it and you crunch the numbers, it doesn't really make financial sense. So when you're talking about a buy and hold strategy, that is really real estate. That is how you utilize real estate to end up becoming wealthy and to end up building generational wealth, because guess what? They're not making any more land, right? I mean, the land is here. The land is going to be here forever. And so, and when you sell real estate, then that asset is gone. So speak about how you help people to get into that buy and hold and why this is important.
So how we train people on that is we have a 90-day program where they come into us. And again, most people are green. This is teaching people how to get that first one. Once you get the first one done and kind of understand that process, it's much easier to build the second, third, and 10th one as well. But we give people a platform where they understand how to deal with the rehab, what's the important stuff to look for in those properties, because some people are looking to rent out their primary home. Well, when you bought that house, that wasn't the strategy for you to rent it out. So it's not always financially the best strategy for you to rent out your primary home. I mean, even though you may be moving to a bigger house and you decide to do that, but that's not always the best buy and hold strategy property to use.
It may be too big.
We walk people through that. Mm-hmm.
The property may be too big to actually rent
exactly.
it out.
Exactly. And the notes are too big. You know, the whole key is to build that cash flow, and you want to be able to have a low principal interest tax on that property. So if you're paying $2,000, $3,000 on that property, it's hard to find renters at that price point that are going to pay way above that amount so you can have some cash flow. So we're talking about properties that are in a smaller, you know, zone, maybe, you know, under 1,500 square feet. And there's certain things that we teach people to look for with those properties. As you know, in Atlanta, obviously, that's a huge market for people to buy in some of those lower income areas, so to speak, and build from there. But there's a whole lot that goes into that and dealing with the rehab process, what to do, what not to do, so you don't go over and above your budget. And then again, the management part of it, how to screen the tenants. We walk people through that entire program, and the goal is to have them out in 90 days with their first rental property investment from the first day that they signed up to the 91st day. They're already the owner of a piece of real estate property. So that's pretty much what that program looks like.
So you spoke about the real estate side.
Tell me now, if I'm starting out and I'm jacking my credit up, give me some tips. So what are some tips, or at least one or two tips that I can utilize right now just to help me as an entrepreneur to rebuild my credit or get in a position where I can go about doing these things that you're speaking about?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's no secret. Paying bills on time is important. So, exactly. You know, when we look at the FICO score, and here's one thing I will give a tip of, is that don't just go with your Credit Karma score. That's a Vantage score. And probably 10 to 12% of lenders use that to measure your credit risk. So when we're talking about the importance of credit, you want to measure yourself against the people that are going to lend you the money. And those lenders, 90% of them are using FICO scores. And there's dozens of FICO scores, by the way. But you do at least want to start with going to your FICO score to get a gauge on whether or not you're credit worthy or not. Based on that score and what's there, you want to look at a few things. Number one, 35% of your credit score, so almost 300 points potentially of your 850 credit score, comes from making those payments on time. Mm-hmm. So obviously that becomes part of our personalized action plan, is to look at where we can coach people on making the payments on time. But the big one is credit utilization. 30% of your credit score is going to come from how much of the credit that you've been allotted are you using? And most people think, oh, well, if I can pay it off before the month is out, that's great. Well, the second that you charge more than 30% on your credit card, that shows as a reflection that you may be at risk. Mm-hmm. And it's going to bring your score down, even if you pay it back down. So there are things like that that a lot of people don't understand. And you can surf the internet and all that good stuff. The information is there. But having a personalized coach and walking people through it, you know, I worked in debt collections 20 years, so we help people with the negotiating part of that. And then I work with an attorney firm with a proprietary tool, and they're chasing after violations to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So we use that tool. We're not mailing letters like most credit restoration companies would do. We're using a software that goes right into the database that stores all of our credit information, and we're identifying those violations. And so that's what makes us unique. And again, our expertise of being in that industry for so long, we're able to quickly identify opportunities to help people with getting those scores up. But paying bills on time and keeping that utilization under 30% would be two quick tips that I would suggest to anybody out there looking to improve their credit.
So, and it's not just something where you're just giving education, but you're really helping them, like hands-on, like providing a service for them more so than just the education to show them how they
Absolutely.
Would do it.
Okay. Absolutely. 90 days in and out. If you follow the program, your credit score absolutely will go up to the 670 or greater score, no matter what.
Now, does that matter if somebody already has like collections or bankruptcies or of course, those things may have a point to do with it?
Especially people with collections are who we're looking for, because, again, we're looking for those violations. And typically that's where you're going to find it, when you've got repossession. Even evictions, you've got those type of things, collections and charge-offs that have hit your credit report and have been on your credit report for 2-3 years, that's a prime candidate for us. We definitely can help that person, and that's what we like to look for and help them get to the point where their scores, again, are mortgage-worthy on the FICO score. And that number is to be over 670 on your FICO 5, 4, and 2.
And you understand this because you've also been and you've collected like $100 million plus in collections on the other end of it. So you've seen
it. Yes, sir. I come from that industry. Yes, sir. And I'm going to share something with everybody. You know, while I was managing these teams and I was a director in a lot of these collection and law firm collection agencies, and my credit score was horrible. I was in the low 500s managing teams to collect that stuff. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm very transparent about that. And that's why I can probably help people more so than others, because I've walked the walk and done it myself to improve my own personal credit and my wife's credit.
And so now where you are, when you're talking about the real estate and having people get into this buy and hold, and the fact that you've taken yourself from 580 to now well over 760 plus, almost in the 800s, and you're hearing you're investing in real estate. Now that I've gotten my credit right, now how do I get in here where I'm building wealth? With the do I have to wait until I get my credit together before I can start building wealth on the real estate side with a Nico? Or can I do it all while that's happening?
it's all a process. So, I mean, I'm not going to sell any dreams here. You need to have some funds together to invest, because there will be some dollars there, but there are programs out there and lenders in our team and across the country that will back you. But here's where the wealth building comes. You've got to be able, especially in a buy and hold strategy, you've got to be able to refinance out into some type of conventional program. And so for you to do that, you've got to have your credit scores to a certain point. So typically, we're coaching people through it in a three-phase attack. One is the money mindset. We got to approach how you're dealing with money, your relationship with money, and how you're even managing your own income from that standpoint. From that, we're looking at the credit, obviously, and we're working through those credit challenges and those hurdles. And then we get you to the point where now you've put your money mindset on, your credit is in a better place. We're teaching you how to get the real estate deals that are in your price pocket, and we teach people how to get that done. And so it is a core, it is a process. This is not tomorrow you're going to be wealthy. You know, it took us 3 years to go from the low 500 scores to the 700s, and from our first rental to our third rental. But by the fifth year, again, now we've got a portfolio of properties. Our scores are good. And again, that's what we teach people, is just how to get through that whole process. So depends on where the person's at. Some people don't need the credit restoration. Some people already have money maybe in their IRA or 401k, and they're ready to start investing, but just haven't known what the right moves are. And we'll happily work with those clients and show them a strategy to get into some real estate investing deals. Buy and hold, of course, is what we're looking at. Because you made a great point a moment ago, JR, and that is, if you're doing flips, yeah, it looks good, and you know, people are online talking about how they made $50,000 on this deal and that, but they didn't tell you about the capital gains tax that they paid, or they spent probably 40% of that money going back to Uncle Sam. Plus, they probably weren't truthful about how much they spent to rehab that property to the highest comps in that area. Because if you're flipping, you're not trying to, you know, get it to rental grade. You're trying to get it to the highest value on that block in that area. So you got to do the granite countertops and all those type of things that make the property at the top selling point. So again, there's a lot of people out there to do it, and hey, more power to them. But our strategy, if we're building long-term generational wealth, is buy and hold, baby.
Yeah, no, I think that's phenomenal. And you spoke about 3 to 5 years, and a lot of people say that's a long time. It's, you know, I tell people all the time, think about it. We're in January 2020, okay? You remember when it was January 2019. It was just like yesterday, right? Time flies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and instead of us saying, well, that's too long, it's like, hey, we have to start somewhere. You know, before we know it, years will pass by. So my next question that I have for you is this. Where do you see your company at in the next 5 years for you? I mean, I see where you've been at now since then. Where does Nico, what does it look like in 5 years from now?
Thank you for asking that. I love that question. So I'm also a published author. I wrote a book called Proven Pathways to Wealth and Happiness. You guys can visit my website, victorvjohnson.com, to make it easier, Victor V. Johnson. But I want to write another book. I like to get out and do more coaching through my speaking platform. And then as a company, we're going to, you know, take this program to other places and show other investors that are in our program how to start teaching other people how to be successful real estate investors. So it's really about that abundance mentality, giving back to other people so that they can live a happier life and have easier options for themselves. And then taking that out to grow and teach other people how to do it on their own. Because you mentioned something about the time, that 3 to 5 years. Well, we'll slave for a W-2 to get that 3% raise or 5% raise over that course of time. And you might have seen an extra $500, you know, over the course of a year in your income, or $1,000. But if we're talking about building something for our families and a legacy, that's what's really important, is trying to build something that your kids can look to you and say, man, I'm so glad that my mom, my dad decided to invest in this property. My grandmother bought her house in 1960 for $20,000. And, you know, when we sold that house after her passing, it sold for $920,000. Wow. That's legacy, man. Wow. That's how you build legacy for your family.
That is awesome. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to work with you? If they want to say, hey, I'm ready to go with Nico, I heard all this great information. How do they reach you?
Absolutely. Well, of course, you can always hit the website. It's Nico Don Project, N-I-C-O-D-O-N Project. victorvjohnson.com. Or to make it easier, we've got the URL that goes to victorvjohnson.com. And I'm all over the social, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram as Victor V. Johnson. Definitely hit me up. I love to connect with people. My phone number is on my website. You can call me, text me. I'm an open book because I definitely want to share this information with as many people as possible.
Listen, that was awesome. And I'm so happy that you came on with us to share this great information. Okay. And we appreciate your time. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, JR, for what you're doing, helping people get their businesses off the ground, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we're going to go on to our next guest. Our next guest. You see, I was at a conference recently in December. And at that conference, you know, I was walking around, you know, trying to figure out how I was going to get set up. And then I ended up meeting somebody. It was like, yeah, you know, they were kind of telling me this is the person who I needed to talk to. And I kind of got set up. But then a couple minutes later, I was on the stage and I saw all of this energy just coming off of the stage and talking and making things happen. I said, okay. So she just turned it all the way up in a short period of time. And so, Brigitta.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, JR. Yeah, I turn it up.
Yeah,
you're right.
She turned it all the way up real fast, too. And it was great. We came there. I mean, you do so much and you've done so much. I don't really even know where to start. I mean,
yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, right. Listen, you have had an opportunity to do some amazing things overseas, but you came here and you opened up a Montessori school.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me start at the very beginning.
Okay.
Right? Brigitta comes from The Sound of Music, so it yeah. kind of fits in.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Germany.
Okay.
And outside of Stuttgart. Okay. So I can appreciate.
I'm very familiar.
I can appreciate good cars, right?
Yeah.
We got the best cars, actually, Mercedes and Porsche being here right in Atlanta.
That's right.
Moved in 2004 with my husband and our little daughter, who was 16, 17 months at the time. She's now 17 years old.
Okay.
To the United States to start a Montessori school.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted my children to have a better education than I did.
Okay.
I was put in German public school, and honestly, it's not better than American public school, to be honest with you. And I said, I want our children to have a different experience in education.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to not be put in a box.
That's right.
And that's why I started the Montessori School of Cleveland, up in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Okay.
And then fast forward good 15 years, I went to a lot of self-development, went through a lot of business development, learned more, you know, taught more. And I was fast-tracked as one of the fast-tracked female trainers with, back then it was Peak Potentials, T. Harv Eker,
Secret of
a Millionaire Mind, right?
Yeah.
Was then absorbed by Success Resources, Tony Robbins, Gary Vee, and all of them. And I was their fast-tracked female trainer. And I learned a lot during that time, like a ton. And out of that, I moved to Atlanta again. Both children now. Now we have two. Now we doubled.
That's right. I know about that.
Yeah, you know a little thing about that. Moved down to Atlanta, and one of my mentors was selling his business, the NLP Institute of Atlanta. Now, I'm a sucker for education, okay?
Yes.
Good quality education.
Okay.
And I say, you know, that fits right in with my purpose and my business plan. Let's talk about what that would you know, look like acquiring this business that's been around since 86.
I was saying, because when I saw it at first, I said, now she doesn't look like, I don't even know she was alive when the
company
was
okay.
So I was like, okay, so she something has to be, something here that just didn't add up. So.
So I'm not the founder, but I'm definitely, you know, the owner and co-owner with Christian, my husband,
okay,
of
great.
The NLP Institute of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we teach what Victor just said. Oh, I just love that. It's the mindset,
okay.
Right? You can have all the finances and all of the real estate and all of the, you know, credit scores in the world. If your mindset is not there, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just like, you know, it's like you're firing off cotton candy. It's here and then it's gone.
Okay.
You know, to put two things in one, firing off cotton candy.
That's right. That's right.
So the mindset is really what drives everything. When you say you saw me and, you know, I really got the participants that were in the room. We had about, I don't know, 120 people or so in the room engaged quickly. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. And that's it right. starts with me, and it starts with me knowing how can I get people out of their seat and what are my language patterns to communicate to build rapport quickly.
That's like right.
Build rapport in an instant. Mm. Not a whole lot of people know how to do that or are even know that they need that in their life.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You're so right. In a nutshell, that's what I do.
No, I love that. I mean, and when you speak about the communication, okay, and how communication is so important. Communication is so important in relationships, in marriages, and business relationships. And, you know, and the one thing I've seen in some of my relationships, people just think that you're just supposed to know by osmosis. Like, it's like, and it's like, how? Speak about communication, how important that is.
Yes, thank you for that. You know, people, just by talking, they think they communicate.
That's right.
Well, that's not communication. That's no. just, you know, that's just spitting stuff out of, you know, to someone else or bringing your own agenda to someone. So communication really is, and I'll go by the NLP methodology. Communication can be put in patterns or in almost like if you decipher it mathematically, it can come in portions. And if you can have very limiting communication patterns, which a lot of people do, mm-hmm. and that's what's the negative mindset or the limiting beliefs, or they can have very good, solid language patterns. Now, people like, I mentioned Tony Robbins earlier, people like Tony, people like Harv Eker, people like, you know, Les Brown, mm-hmm. Oprah, mm-hmm. all of them have gone through some extent of learning how to communicate efficiently and, on the flip side, how to listen.
Mm-hmm. That's so important.
Oh, the listening, listen. People listen to put their own agenda, or let me put it this way, they shut up mm-hmm. while someone else is talking. They're not really listening.
They're not listening. It's just like, hey, I'm just waiting for them to finish so I can spout off my next thing.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it. That is not listening, folks, okay? That is not even active listening, which that seems to be one of the new words, right?
Active listening.
No, listening is really, for me to listen, where do you, JR, where does the person that I'm conversing with or that I'm meeting or that I'm having a relationship with, where do they come from? From which model of the world? Where do they store their information in their deletions, distortions, and generalizations? Because we all delete, distort, and generalize. And how do they then say it? How does that show up in their communication? Are they more visual? Are they more kinesthetic? Are they more auditory? Where are they in their personality? Are they more of an action taker? Are they more of a blueprint, very risk averse and very process driven? Are they more of a nurturer? Do they like to take care of people? Are they the very, you know, knowledge kind of people that need to have the facts and data in place? So being able to listen to that so you can speak that language back, that's a real skill.
Okay.
Some people have it already, you know, intuitively. Like, if you find really good salespeople, they have that already intuitively.
That's
but
right.
they cannot teach it to others because you can't teach your intuition.
No.
You can't put your finger on it. You just have it.
That's right. It's just there.
Yeah, some people just have the gift of gab, right?
That's right.
and some people, most people just don't.
No, that's totally true.
And then now they're coming to these people that really have that gift and they go, teach me. And they're like, teach you, what do you want me to teach you? Right? They don't even know what they know.
That's right.
So with what we're teaching, the mindset, to put, you know, go back to Victor, is really having it clearly defined so we can teach it in pieces mm-hmm. so people can adapt it in their business. They can adapt it in their personal life. Because at the end of the day, JR, all personal problems are business problems. All business problems are personal problems. If we think we can close the door and leave it and check it at the door,
no,
you're wrong.
That's right.
We're holistic beings.
No, totally. I deal with so many entrepreneurs, and when I speak to them and I do discovery, and when I'm speaking to them a lot, I'm always asking them, okay, so what's going on here? What are your expenses like? You know, what's going on at home? Do you have a family? And they're wondering, like, why am I asking this? Because if we're going down the line in your business and you like, hey, something just happens and then I don't have any backstory to know, all the personal stuff falls over in the business, yep, and vice versa. And you spoke about mindset and having that right mindset. So when we're talking about getting started with NLP in this case, would it start at mindset and then go first I would need to have a mindset before I could go into properly communicating?
Yeah, so I'm grateful that you asked that question. Look, mindset starts with where? It starts in your head with your thoughts, mm-hmm, right? Thoughts lead to feelings. Mm-hmm. Those feelings lead to actions, and actions lead to results.
Okay.
Now, if you have negative thoughts, that'll go into negative feelings, go into negative actions that you'll have negative results. Or you can choose to have positive feelings. You can shift your thinking. You can shift your mindset. Therefore, you have positive feelings and you have positive actions that you're taking, and that will then result in positive results. So it starts with the awareness of where's my limiting communication patterns, where do they show up, or maybe there's just some negative mind chatter or stinking thinking, as I like to call it,
mm-hmm,
and then start reframing that. That's already, the reframe is already a language pattern that we teach in NLP. And then from there, it goes from your thoughts to your feelings lead to actions, and actions then results.
Okay.
So it does start with the awareness. So it starts even before you have that mindset.
Okay. Just
you got to be aware of
just
it.
Just to even know that no one has had the battle, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. And you don't know what you don't know.
That's
so
right.
You got to go on that journey of where else is that pattern showing up in my life and how is it holding me back? Or on the flip side, where else do I have success patterns already in my life, in my business, in my relationships, in my relationship with my kids or my mother or whoever? And how can I define and decipher that pattern and then apply it elsewhere?
Okay.
Right? So people that go to the gym, for instance, and have gone to the gym for, you know, years and decades or however long, and they might not be as successful in business,
mm-hmm,
we can decipher that going to the gym success pattern and start implementing that into their business.
Okay, so it's just finding wherever that success is and transferring that into another area where you're lacking.
Yeah, it's a pattern.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So before... what you were doing, going on the road and doing these things with these great leaders and speakers and some of these people that, you know, are all over doing some amazing things. How did that experience, how is that helping you currently in your role that you're doing as a leader of NLP?
Oh, well, first of all, credibility.
No, totally.
That's huge, credibility and visibility. And they're modeling it. So if you don't have a mentor, if you don't have someone like Victor, like myself, like you, JR, that is modeling what other people want to achieve,
mm-hmm,
then, you know, without the model, you cannot follow something. So an architect creates a model for something.
That's right.
An architect creates, you know, if an architect goes, say, with a existing building, say an existing person, we got to have the right scaffolding on that building, on that person, and then see which part of the scaffolding do we take off or which part of the house do we disassemble, mm-hmm, and then replace it with something that is more supportive.
That's right.
That'll support that entire structure, okay, right? So, yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
I loved, you know, working with them, learning with them, and honestly creating that that similar success pattern in my own life and in my own business. That can only happen if you have a mentor, if you have a model to model after. And these guys were definitely a big, 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 big model.
So who is the ideal customer of NLP? If I was to say, okay, I know this can help anybody really, but who would you say if you could narrow it down to an ideal customer or avatar, what does that look like?
Yeah, so I work mainly with women.
Okay.
Women between 35 and 45 that are C-level executives or, you know, high net worth entrepreneurs.
Okay.
But then on the flip side, JR, you know, some of my legacy clients are OBGYNs that are all over the United States and across the borders. Some of my clients are a rabbi.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So
that's right.
I have a very clear defined avatar. And that's then right. We have, you know, we have courses every month, and we have in our last course, our youngest was 14 years old and wow. Our oldest was 68 or something like that.
Wow.
So, that you know,
something.
Yeah. So
that's
we have a very
end
clear.
End.
Yes, exactly. At the end of the day, it's everyone with a mouth.
Yeah.
Two eyes and two ears.
Yeah, right. Listen, no, and you don't understand how important when I sit on advisory boards for colleges like all across the nation. And we were in a meeting. We were at a university, and it was a business advisory meeting, and they had all these different categories. They said, what's most important? And so we each had to fill out, okay, somebody that's smart or somebody that's trustworthy, somebody that's this and that. And some of the things that we would consider like soft skills were actually to them the most important things.
Yeah.
And so as far as what they would look for in people that could speak and communicate effectively and get people to follow them, they saw those things as the extra, because I guess in a lot of those cases, they already expected people to have foundational things to even get to the door. So, you know, that was phenomenal just to even have those soft skills. This is something that everybody needs.
Yeah, and I don't even think that they're soft skills. Yeah. I think they're real, you know, they're real valid hard skills.
Totally.
And if you and the listeners have not read Napoleon Hill, Secret of a Millionaire Mind, Think and Grow Rich.
Yes, I
think
love that
Think and Grow
book.
Rich. You know, that what that's, it's, NLP is based on that entire idea.
Okay.
Richard Bandler and John Grinder have basically deciphered the language patterns of highly successful people. Just like Napoleon Hill interviewed them, now they've taken the language patterns apart. Because let's go back to the gym. You might find someone that is a personal trainer, mm-hmm. and the personal trainer just, you know, hustles and puts all the work in. And then there might be another personal trainer, you know, just hustling just as much, seems to be doing the same thing on Instagram and all of that. But that person 10x's their income from the other personal trainer. Why is that? Mm-hmm. They're doing the same work. It goes back to language patterns. It goes back to success patterns and really tapping into those success patterns. And then at the end of the day, it goes back to taking all the action. Take action.
Action. I'm very big on action. I always say business success is about 80% action, 20% planning and education. So, no, I think that's phenomenal. I have two last questions for you.
Okay.
My first question is, what was your greatest success in business, in life, whatever? And then my other question was, what was the biggest learning experience or challenge or maybe mistake that you've had? Could you answer those for us?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So my biggest success is marrying my husband, Christian.
Oh,
he
wow.
is the love of my life.
He's then, amazing, too.
Yeah, he really is. We love working together.
Power couple, for real. I'm telling you, they're definitely a power couple. They were there at that event, tag teaming. I was like, man, that's awesome.
and I'd rather have him around than anyone else because we gel so well.
Yes.
And then second in command are my children. They're,
okay.
You know, no money can buy neither my husband nor my children.
That's great.
They're my one and all. And that's why I, you know, get up in the morning and I hustle.
That's right. That's right.
I do it for them. I don't do it for anyone else.
That's right.
My biggest, to the second question, I burnt through, when I built my business, my Montessori school, my mm-hmm. first business when I came to the United States in 2004, I burnt through teachers. Like, okay. Really, really quickly and really, really bad.
Okay.
I'll be, you know, really vulnerable and really honest with you guys. here I am, this very action-oriented, also very process-driven German.
That's right. Get it done.
That comes to a small town in Tennessee.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
These people didn't know what hit them.
No, I believe it.
And I hired the best teachers. I invested in them because none of them were Montessori, you know, certified. So I trained them over 3 years.
Okay.
And once those 3 years were done and I invested a good, you know, 50 grand, they were gone.
Wow.
And I turned around and I said, what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. So one good thing that I did is I didn't look outward. I looked inward.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what am I doing wrong? There's something that I'm missing. And that's when I started really working more on, you know, personal development, self-development, and business development. And I found that as an action person, I am not listening to the teachers. The teachers, most of them are very, very nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically bulldozed over them.
Mm.
That was my biggest mistake. And at the same time, it was my biggest blessing because I learned a lot through that process.
Totally.
I lost a bunch of teachers. I had a huge turnaround in my business. And therefore, I lost a bunch of parents. And therefore, I lost a bunch of students.
That's right. That's
so
right.
That was the big, big, big pain point. And I learned a lot from it.
That is so awesome because it leads into where you are currently.
Right.
And the value of communication and how important it is. Because, see, people who've always known how to communicate, how, you know, it may be different for them because they say, well, I don't know how not to communicate.
Right.
But you actually had a close-in experience in a business and saw the opposite result of not communicating effectively. And then when you're communicating effectively, the success that you have.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you, when you were up there and you were making it happen, you were definitely communicating effectively. So whatever the difference was, I could definitely tell it. So tell people, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. So NLP Atlanta, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So N as in Nancy, L as in Lion, P as in Peacock, NLP Atlanta. You can find us NLPAtlanta.com, our website, on Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, all social media. NLP Atlanta is what you're going to put in and how you're going to find us.
Okay, that's awesome. Listen, I thank you so much for coming on here.
You're amazing.
Hey, listen, you're amazing. And I'm looking forward to all the great things that you're going to do and these lives that you're going to change. Look,
yeah.
Let me know any way I can help. I'm there.
Yeah, January 17th and 18th, it's on me.
Okay.
You come to my event in Atlanta.
Okay, great.
All right.
Great. What is it? What is the...
So it's going to be a two-day event where we're going to go into the personality types so you know how to listen.
Okay.
And we're going to do, on the second day, we're going to do a fun activity called speed coding.
Okay.
Where we're going to refine our listening and you get to go around the tables and code other people.
Wow.
So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be over at the Perimeter, Perimeter Mall.
Okay.
And, if you go on NLP Atlanta Facebook page, there's an event that's already there, so you can tap into there. You're my guest.
Oh, listen, no, I'd love to. And I know that Demetrius, he has another show that speaks about events, so we may have you on there before that time.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, thanks so much once
thanks,
again.
Thanks, JR.
Yeah. And now, to close us out.
Hi.
Yes, Jessica, how you doing over there?
I'm great. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to be here. Listen, you are doing some great things dealing with millennials. And this is the thing. So we have a separate company called The Container Box where we really produce that company. We make container homes and it was just because we saw that majority of millennials weren't purchasing homes. They weren't, I mean, it was several different things that were maybe reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But there is an audience that needs to be focused on. And it's an audience that really is the main driver of our economy right now. And so and what you're doing with Audacity is making it happen, is really giving them the tools necessary so that they can go out here and be effective. Speak about what made you come to this point or place of where you are right now just to even start this company. How did we get here?
Oh, dear God. Okay. So Originally, I was not planning on launching an entire magazine just in my early 20s. My partner and I came up with the idea. I think I was about 24 at the time. Okay. I had just graduated grad school, okay. Unemployed. Okay. But I was still working at another company that was also an editorial and was working as an associate editor, hiring interns. And actually, that's how I met my business partner. Okay. I hired her as an intern at the company I was at. She was about 2 years younger than me. She just turned 23, I believe.
Okay.
And originally what we wanted to do was actually create an extension of that company we were at already.
Okay.
And we requested that we be, you know, part of the brand and have a stakeholder in it and everything, because we were told that we would be responsible for doing all the legwork, basically. Okay. And we kind of, and I don't want to like drag on into it too much just because I like to speak positively about company's origin.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when we were at this company and when we were working at other companies, because, you know, millennials, especially in college, which is where, you know, me and my partner, where we were in college and grad school, you know, we were working retail and we were working food service and we were working, you know, different internships where we weren't really making money. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, everybody else in our generation was racking up student debt. My partner and I are very fortunate. We come from families that will help you pay for college, will help you pay your rent, but everybody's not as fortunate as us and our parents were.
That's right.
So we just saw some serious major inequities, particularly at, you know, these companies that we were working for. We saw that, you know, 50% of millennials were in college debt. We saw that 35% of millennials make up the overall workforce in America, yet we're the lowest paid, but we're the highest educated. Something's not moving and shaking here. Something is not right. There's a level of inequity. And the main thing is that we're being taught to continue to eat crow. Yeah. We got to eat crow. We're like, oh, they're like, oh, well, like, you know, get the experience. We're getting exposure, getting experience, getting exposure. Meanwhile, the cost of living in Atlanta, not even going to go into about the other cities. We're going to go talk about my city. You know, Atlanta, the cost of living has gone up 70% in less than a decade.
That is crazy.
It's ridiculous.
No, I remember living in Atlanta and everybody was coming here because it was
Because it was popping. Yeah. Like people were coming to Atlanta because like, you know, there was a genuine land of opportunity. You know, it's been the Black Mecca for how long now?
Forever.
But now that's starting to turn. You're seeing a lot of gentrification. You're seeing the price of education going up. You're seeing a lot of inflation and you're seeing a lot of these corporations come in here from New York and San Francisco who will accept higher prices because to them it's normal.
Yeah. Or it's cheaper,
and it's messing up exactly, and it's messing up everything for those of us who actually have been here building the city for the last 40 to 50 years.
Yeah,
you know, it gets kind of ridiculous. So when me and my partner went to our CEO and said we would like a serious stakeholder in the company that we are helping create here, we're creating an extension. We were only offered 21% apiece, even though we were doing all the legwork. And we were like, okay, can we make it 25? And that would make it a little bit more fair. That would make us literally 50-50.
Yeah.
We were told that we were crazy and unreasonable and that we were such millennials.
Yeah.
And my response is, just because I'm a millennial does not mean that I deserve to be underpaid.
Yeah.
It's simply not fair. If I have done the work over years and years, because at that point, you know, I had 2 degrees, I had 5 years of experience, including managerial experience, and I've worked in nearly every walk of life besides actual hands-on, like, construction or factory labor. I've been in retail, I've been in food service, I've been in corporate, I've been in editorial, you know. This is not, you know, some whiny high school kid who's trying to flip a burger. I am an adult woman who needs to make money.
That's right.
You know? So once we were told that, and that we were not going to get a stakehold, and that, all right, that we were crazy and unreasonable, and that we could not make the company without the company backing us, we said, you know what? Don't worry about it. We'll take our company. We'll take our idea. You can do your thing. We respect you. We thank you for the experience. Do your thing. We're going to go somewhere else and do it on our own.
That's right.
And, you know, about a year later, that's when we launched Audacity Magazine. And that's actually where the name came from, because we were told that we had the audacity to even ask for something that was really basic human rights, basic fairness.
Yeah. So when you're talking about what made you then, so what you, before, was it a magazine that you were coming out of, or?
Yes, it was another magazine that I was working for.
Okay, so and then you wanted to just start your own magazine that would would go about specifically targeting the millennials and to educate them. And
exactly. We wanted to create an extension of that magazine, almost like a, another branch, if you will.
Sure.
But not to the point where it was its own entity. We were really trying to like start small. And then, you know, if we had a good enough stakehold, then eventually we would hope we were at the place where we could have bought it out of the company. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's not how the chips fell.
But it was the broken road that brought you where you are.
Exactly. You know, so now I own 50% of my company.
Yeah, yeah, which is great.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of times when we're going through things or we're in the middle of stuff, it seems, oh, man, this isn't right. But then it's like, man, well, you know, if it was right, I would have gotten less and would have been probably even unhappier.
And still answering to somebody else about an idea that truly belonged to me and to my partner.
That's right.
So, you know, then once we were like, okay, well, this is something that we're going to have to do ourselves, we started really breaking down what are the needs of the millennial community, because we have all this education, we have all this ambition, and we have a lot of talents that the Gen X and boomers don't have. Mm-hmm. Like, most of my bosses did not know how I make PDFs. Just didn't know how to do it.
That's right.
Didn't know how to make PDFs, didn't know how to put together a playlist for an event, you know, things of that nature. So I'm like, I have a lot of skills. Our generation has a lot of skills. So what is it that we need in order to pack those skills together and have the confidence to ask for the things that we deserve? Mm-hmm. And to genuinely not just say, hey, I want this because I deserve it, but, you know, here is why. Here are my receipts as to why I deserve these things. So the first thing we looked at was just the general lack of editorial content out there for millennials. Okay. Of course, you have millennial bloggers, but you don't really have a whole lot of like actual magazines that talk about millennials and millennial professionals without bashing them.
Sure.
It's a lot of things out there right now. It's like, oh, well, millennials have ruined retail, or millennials are not buying homes. Millennials are going to be the reason that we're underpopulated. I'm sorry, we can't afford to have children right now. We're broke. We have student debt. But, you know, so that was the first thing was, okay, we need to make some editorial content that's actually encouraging them and not bashing them. Mm-hmm. And that's actually teaching them, instead of just going on about why millennials don't do this or don't have this or are not interested in this, why don't we say, well, here's what we can do and here is how we can do it. And here are different avenues as to how you can do that. And we also wanted to make sure we defined that being a professional does not mean that you put on a tie and go to work every day. Mm-hmm. Being professional can mean that you do run your blog about plants at your house while you pet your cat. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah.
If you're monetizing and you're doing honest work, who cares?
That's right.
You know, if you are, I mean, we live in Atlanta. This is a party promoter city. That's how a lot of kids that I went to school with were making their money, mm-hmm. simply by doing party promotions. They're walking out with nearly $1,000 a night, you know?
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that editorial content was inclusive and not just about corporate, because there's so many ways now to build a career that's sustainable and that's honest and that contributes to the world.
The technology has advanced so much.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 20 years ago, the technology didn't exist to even do these mm-hmm. things. You know, even starting a magazine, I mean, the technology was different even 5, 6, 7 years ago. And so, yeah, I mean, technology has gotten to the point now to where it doesn't look the same way. So jobs, profession, success doesn't look the same way. Doesn't
exactly.
mean that they're not successful.
Exactly. And then the second thing we were looking at was events, because mm-hmm. a lot of the way everybody knows the way you get a job, it's not about what you know, it's who you know.
True.
And you do it by networking. So now that we have put editorial content on the pages and we have given people tools to go out and be successful, we have to give them a place to do that. Mm-hmm. If you look at a networking event in our city of Atlanta, and I guarantee it's even higher if you go to Chicago, you go to New York, you go to LA, most of the time, if you're looking at a networking event, that ticket costs you about $100. Mm-hmm. No one can afford that.
Yeah.
Nobody as a millennial, as a young millennial especially, mm-hmm. can afford that. So you kind of are looking at the option, you know, when you're somebody my age, I'm only 25, I've only been out of school for maybe about a year now, I'm looking at, okay, I can pay my electric bill today, or I can use this $100 and go to this event where I might meet somebody who might help my career.
That's right.
And there's no guarantee. And as much as we like living on the edge, the lack of guarantee is not cool. So we're like, okay, our events at Audacity will never cost more than $35 a head.
Okay.
Never. And we make that pledge for like the duration of the company. And the third thing we want to do is professional development, which means that we want to And we have not started this yet. We are looking for partners in order to do this. But we want to go into corporate mailrooms, intern offices. We want to go to sororities and fraternity houses, college campuses, and actually give workshops as to how they can do some of these things to make themselves successful, whether it's fashion or just networking, coaching in general, or resume building, you know?
Yeah. You said one thing when you said young millennials, because the millennials go from, like, I believe it's 1981 to, like, 96, 97.
Yeah.
That's a vast, that's so many exactly. different types of millennials.
The oldest millennial is almost 40 years old. Yes. And for some reason, we're still considered a generation of whiny teenagers. At this point, no millennial is a teenager anymore, I don't think. It's very interesting because... And a lot of what people forget too is that as everything has changed as far as like technology and the job market and everything like that, there's also basic life skills that we're not getting because we're from the credit card generation. Mm-hmm. You know, our parents, Gen X, they're the credit card generation. So they're out here busting their heads to the white meat, trying to rebuild credit, trying to save up so that we can go to college and have better opportunities than what they did. And so they're not home with us to say, hey, here's how you balance a checkbook. Mm-hmm. Here's how you learn about credit, because mm-hmm. they don't know anything about credit to begin with. That's which is correct. Why they are where they are. You know, and my generation is where they got rid of home economics in schools.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
And so.
Can't cook or.
Yeah.
Clean. Or, yeah.
But then I open a Forbes article and they're like, millennials lack basic life skills. I wonder why.
Yeah.
I really wonder why.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, what we're moving and shaking on right now. And we're very much so in the early stages. So we are looking to grow. We're looking to collaborate. We're looking for anybody who wants to advertise with us. We're very, very open to the possibilities.
So talk to me about your role at the company and then your partner's role at the company and how y'all kind of, you know, balance running the company.
Oh, we are literally a yin and yang.
Okay.
Like she is my work wife. Absolutely. Okay. So we're both co-founders. We founded this together. We own it 50-50.
Okay.
I am the editor-in-chief mainly my leg. So all of that beautiful editorial content that you see on our website, all those lovely articles, I either have edited them or I have written them.
Okay.
And also any of the like actual written content that you see on our website, like where it says, you know, the about page, things like that. Now my partner, she is our sales exec and she also works primarily with visuals. So if we have an invitation that we need to send out for an event, she designs those. If we have graphics that we need to get made for social media, she creates those. And for the most part, she runs our social media. We kind of tag team it, but it's mainly, her role. Okay. And then she handles a lot of the sponsors and advertisers. Or if I am bringing a sponsor and advertiser to the table, then I will say, hey, this is what I think we should do. And she'll say, Jessica, that's stupid. We're not going to make money. Yeah. Do it this way.
That's right. Hey, she keeps.
Yeah.
But see, it's great. And that's, I always ask that, especially about partners and relationships in business. I remember speaking to a group of entrepreneurs and I was speaking to them and I said, so what do you do in the company? What do you do? Oh, we just do the same thing. I said, well, who's able to hold who accountable?
Right. Can't do it like that. You have to tag team. No, you have to tag team, but you also have to divide and conquer, because if you don't have structure and you don't have like a level of accountability, like you just said, mm-hmm. then it's not going to shake.
So where does Audacity in the future? What does it look like?
Oh dear. So we are literally 6 months old.
Okay.
So, the way I would like to see things evolve with Audacity, I of course like to see us be able to interview bigger players out there. Like mm-hmm. I would love to interview AOC.
Okay.
I love her.
Okay.
I would love to interview someone like her. I would love to have actual brick and mortar event spaces mm-hmm. where, you know, not only can we host events, but other millennial companies that are looking just for, you know, a good space at a good price okay. can come and host their events as well and grow their businesses.
Okay.
Like I said earlier with professional development, I'd like to start doing more community work, community outreach with workshops and things of that nature. We would like to get involved politically as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they tell you as a magazine, oh, don't do that. Don't do that because, you know, you're isolating a portion of your audience. But I think with the age of politics that we're in now, there's not really much room to not do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I think at some point you have to take a stand and you have to say, this is what we as a company believe. And if you don't like it, then I don't want your advertising anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know,
you're going to offend somebody either way.
At the end of the day, like, you know, it's journalism. It's journalism, and no matter how many facts or statistics you put in something, it's going to be a level of opinion based. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be that way. So, you know, we are looking, as far as politically speaking, we are looking to support places like Planned Parenthood and reproductive health, because as we know, there's an attack on women's reproductive health right now in the state of Georgia. So we are looking to find ways to stand on that. We're also looking at telling different kinds of millennial stories. Like, you know, like we said, we didn't want to do the cookie cutter suit and tie corporate people. There's plenty of those people out there. We would love to talk to those people because they still contribute to the economy and they are still players in the workplace. But, you know, we want to talk to artists and we want to talk to activists and we want to speak to the LGBT community. We want to make sure that this is a place that involves everyone, because the thing that I love about my generation is that we are showing what America has been looking like all along. LGBT is not new. Transgender is not new. Women's rights and feminism, it's nothing new. It's always been here. It's just been suppressed because of societal differences. And so I want to be a part of bringing what America has always looked like to light.
Okay, and that's great. Let me ask you this. What in the 6 months that you've rolled with what you're doing, what is a tip? Give the audience out here, if you were to, you know, a tip on what they need to do if they want to come out and start up, be an entrepreneur, what would one of those tips be?
Be careful who you choose as a partner. My partner's great, but I've seen a lot of businesses not go as well because people want to work with their friends. And my partner and I are friends, but we definitely make sure that we're like, this is business, this is friendship.
Sure.
So be careful who you choose as a partner. And also prepare for delays. If you set a date for something, it's great. It's probably in the early stages. It's going to get pushed back. It's going to get pushed back. We had originally wanted to launch in September of 2018. We launched in June of 2019. Like, it's just prepare for delays and be okay with them, because you never want to put out a product that is not up to par. You'd rather wait and make sure that it's great and that's something that, you know, is sustainable.
How do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about Audacity and what you're doing as a magazine, these events? How do they get in touch with you?
Okay, so you can go to our website. That's where you see all the editorial content and posts from our past events. If you want to see what we've been doing, that's audacitymagazine.org. And you can also follow us on Facebook. We're at Audacity LLC. You can also follow us on Instagram, which is one of my favorite places for us. It's at Audacity Mag, M-A-G, online.
Okay.
And it's also that same handle for our Gmail if you want to email us. It'll be audacitymagonline@gmail.com.
That is awesome. Listen, I told you all at the beginning of this show we were going to have some great people on, talking about some great things. And, I mean, it was action-packed from start to finish. And so I am very, very happy that Jessica, Regita, Victor, all my good guests came on today, because we were able to really deliver some great things to our audience base. I appreciate y'all. Y'all keep going out and making things happen.
Thank you.
And this is JR McNair once again signing off for Velocity Radio.